This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
President Biden is in Korea to talk U.S. chip manufacturing. For Marketplace in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Ulern for David Brancaccio. President Biden is in South Korea today, and his first stop was a Samsung computer chip factory. A similar one is set to be built here in Texas, about an hour from where I am here in Austin. The president is using this visit to push lawmakers in the U.S. to provide billions of dollars in funding for domestic chip manufacturing. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
Andy, the president landed at the U.S. Air Force Base in South Korea and headed straight for that Samsung chip factory. The White House says it's a model for the one to be built in Texas, for which Samsung is to invest $17 billion. The pandemic really exposed how reliant the American economy is on a few big chip factories overseas, and the Biden administration has been pushing to build more supply chain resilience in the U.S., including more chip manufacturing.
Now, the president is urging Congress to pass a bill called the Bipartisan Innovation Act. What would that do?
So that's where the money would come from to expand chip manufacturing in the U.S. That bill would fund $52 billion in government subsidies for chip makers to build new plants here. The bill does have bipartisan support. It's in conference to hammer out differences between the Senate and House versions. The House version has a number of provisions that Republicans oppose, that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce opposes, so that all has to be figured out. But even if this funding measure passes right away, Andy, it's not an immediate fix. Just this morning, we got new analysis from the research firm Oxford Economics, and it's predicting the semiconductor shortage will persist into next year. And that's especially going to hurt automakers and consumer electronics companies.
Marketplace Nova Safo, thanks.
You're welcome.
This week, several big retailers have reported that higher costs are eating into their profits. Goods are expensive, freight is expensive, labor is expensive. In addition, companies like Walmart and Target are stuck with too much inventory. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
Many of the goods that are piling up at retailers are items consumers had been buying a lot of earlier in the pandemic. Things like office furniture, home decor, and appliances. Thing is, consumers are less interested in buying those goods now that the economy is reopened. Instead, they're getting more into spending on services, like going out to eat. Now, for retailers, that extra inventory is costly. You have to store it. That means extra warehouse space. You have to move it around. That means extra labor. And to get rid of it, you have to mark it down, which squeezes profits. You might even end up having to sell stuff at a loss. Analysts told me that forecasting consumer spending has been especially challenging. And now, big retailers are probably pivoting to stocking more food and other basics. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. China's central bank cut one of its interest rates, which seems to have traders in a good mood ahead of the weekend. The FTSE in London is up almost 1.8%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up just about 1% or better, with the Dow future up nearly 300 points. Lawyers for the Massachusetts biopharma company Thermo Fisher Scientific and descendants of a woman named Henrietta Lacks were in court this week in a case with potentially big implications for intellectual property rights and racial equity. The case looks at who has the right to control and profit from medical discoveries, drugs, vaccines, etc., when they're derived from biological material taken from someone without their consent. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more on the implications of this case.
Henrietta Lacks was a 31-year-old African-American mother of five when she came to Johns Hopkins Hospital in 1951 with advanced cervical cancer. During her treatment on a segregated ward, doctors collected cells from her body that were later discovered to have an extraordinary property. They could survive and reproduce indefinitely in a lab. The cell line was instrumental in creating vaccines and mapping the human genome. It's led to billions in profits for pharmaceutical companies. The lawsuit filed by Lack's descendants argues they should get a share of those profits. Art Kaplan is a medical ethicist at NYU.
It's certainly the case there were horrible moral violations to Henrietta Lack's lack of consent. Racism was abundant in medicine at the time.
But Kaplan says it'll be hard for the family to establish property rights over medical products resulting from tissue extracted 70 years ago.
The idea that you're going to be able to sue and claim profit or control over cell lines derived from her cancer cells, I have to tell you, I think it's a real long shot.
It was routine for doctors to take tissue for scientific research without consent in the 1950s. Aisha Scott, who teaches health policy at Providence College, says the racism and healthcare discrimination Lack's experienced has compounded the harm to her descendants.
Her family reaching out for damages today, they have every right to. Her children also had the impact of her not being able to get access to regular healthcare.
Most existing legal precedent backs the idea that researchers and companies, not patients, have the right to profit from products developed from their tissues. But intellectual property attorney Lance Anderson at Dickinson Wright thinks the plaintiffs are raising novel arguments here.
What will be interesting is whether or not you can attribute the commercial success of the developments arising from that biological material to the original provider.
The company being sued, Thermo Fisher Scientific, didn't respond by our deadline. In legal filings, the company has argued that the Lacks family hasn't demonstrated harm, and it's now too late for them to file their claim. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Lots to get through there. Our digital producer is Redmond Carolipio. Our engineers are Jay Siebold and Jessen Dueler. Our intern is Jared Dang. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.